Welcome back to the Dive and Download. New year, new us. Christmas tree's still up though, man.
I love it. It looks great.
Thank you, bro. Hey, how you doing, bro?
Good. I saw you were at the Dolphins game on Sunday. Is that right?
Yeah, we lost.
Yeah, it was a good game to watch though. Was it Dolphins Bills?
Dolphins, Bills.
How'd you get to go? Did you I think I saw were you with the guy that's Tyreek Hill's video guy? Is that who it was?
Yeah. So K Fitz, he's like this 21-year-old kid, used to work for the NFL, got fired because he was recording a video in the end zone of Tyreek getting a touchdown on his phone. Tyreek takes the phone, turns it like this, does a backflip, sickest video ever.
Oh, I remember that.
The NFL did not like that. That's why they re-acronymized it to the No Fun League, NFL, No Fun League.
Wait, so he got fired because of his phone?
He got fired because I don't know why. It was stupid, bro. Anyway, it was a great game. We had fun. Crackheads yelling behind us, bro. People love football. It's crazy. I'm as a Canadian, don't really know much about the culture, but crazy.
And he now works for Tyreek personally. Like he does social media or video for Tyreek personally.
He's been working with him for a while, but yeah, he's copy MBA student.
Does he work with other clients? Or like that's his own, like he's in-house.
I think he has a couple of other clients.
Oh,
Yeah, very cool,
cool.
interesting guy though. Dude, we got some fire topics today.
Oh, let's do it. That's so cool though.
A little bit different too, because we got like a one for me and then one for you and then one for kind of like both of us.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. My thing is Mason's discipline hack that I wrote an email about today, but I'm going to talk about it here because most people aren't on my email list. But okay, so long story short, I'm doing a 48-hour fast right now. I had my last meal Sunday night at
Okay.
6, and I'm about to like eat in like an hour probably.
Okay.
And I'm feeling like a little out of it, bro. Super lightheaded. It sucks. Like, have you ever done a fast?
Yeah, it's no, not fun.
You how what's the longest you've gone?
Oh, I think I tried to do a 24-hour and I made it like barely 24 hours.
Okay. Yeah. So, dude, they're tough. Like, 24 hours is like the hardest point to break through because like you just want to have dinner so bad. And it just sucks, bro. And I've done this a handful of times. But basically, the discipline hack is just it's something that you can do anytime you need to do something that you really don't want to do. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's like a sprint period of working. It could be a fast, could be like an exercise thing, could be a marathon, maybe. And one thing I did, because I knew this was going to suck for 48 hours, was I wrote a letter to myself, to my future self, from like the perspective of like really, really wanting to do it because of shame. Like, I'm doing a fast because I just ate way too much over the holidays. Like, I was just like, I just blew my wad, bro. It was just too much. I ate too much. My girl was here. We're getting, like arepas and empanadas every night. Like, bro, we're eating everything. And so
Okay.
I was like, I need to fast. And so I wrote myself this like probably 1,000-word like letter.
Wow.
Basically just handling the objections that I know I'm going to have when I'm doing it. So like I've done a fast before, so I know what it's like. And so basically I wrote it from the perspective of like, I know what it feels like to have food in my belly and be full. And it's nice, but it's not like the euphoric feeling that I feel right now. You know what I mean? Because your brain will lie to you. Like right now, or it was last night I was really feeling it. And I was thinking like, okay, my brain was telling me like, how good would it feel to just have like a cheesesteak right now? Like, how good would that feel? And I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh my God, that would feel so good. But in the letter, I wrote to myself like, dude, you just had a cheesesteak an hour ago, and you don't feel better. Like, it feels normal. You know what I mean? Like, just handling those objections. And I just basically wrote all of the things that I would want to hear during the fast, like, but from a clear state of mind because I wasn't fasting when I wrote it. Because if I wrote a letter right now, I'd be like, I need to eat so bad, I'm starving. But you can do that kind of with anything. And like, you can just read it whenever you feel like the temptation to like not complete the challenge or whatever it is you're trying to do. And bro, it honestly really helps. Like, to because like the other thing too is when you write like that, especially if you write it not as saying like I, you could say like second or third person. Like, I wrote it as like you need to fast, you need to do this. It also feels like you're holding yourself accountable for somebody else because like it's really hard to hold yourself accountable. Like, it's easy to let yourself down, but it's hard to let other people down. Like, if I knew that I was doing a fast with you, I would not want to just like give up halfway through, because I'd be like, I'm letting Chase down. And so that's kind of like the effect that you give yourself when you write a letter like that. And dude, I'm going to start doing that all the time. I did it. It got me through this. No problem. Like, I feel fine.
Dude, that's awesome. Do you think you could templatize that letter and then like people fill out the blanks? Like, that would be enough? Or do you think you have to write it from scratch and like really think through it?
No, it's got to be from the heart. I like, as long as it has the objection handling thing, and just like writing it like passionately about like how you feel right now in a place of shame. So like, let's say like you really have to like start working out, and you write a letter to yourself like, yo, I'm going to work out every day for 3 months or something like that. At the beginning of that journey, you'd say like, yo, I know this is going to suck and it's going to feel like you don't want to do it, but here's what's going to happen after you do that for 3 months. Like, here's how you're going to feel. Like, you don't want to be me right now. Like, you like fighting through the pain and like working out every day feels better than it feels to be right now, me sitting at my desk writing this thing to you fat. You know what I mean? Like, you could just write it as if the person in the future is like really doing you solid.
Dang, you should have the guy from, what's his name, like Andy, whatever his name is, from 75 Day Hard, and tell him this needs to be the component at the beginning of 75 Day Hard.
Yeah, 75 Hard. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't, but I was reading about it recently, and that would be like a really interesting one, where I know you have to read, but now maybe it's like you have to write a letter to yourself, and you have to almost like, maybe you have to like journal, but like, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, and journaling's, I mean, to be fair, it's not a super new thing. Like, I didn't invent this, but like, I think, yeah, like writing to yourself in this way, like, would really help. And like, it feels good too to be done. Like, I'm going to be done in a little bit, and I know for a fact, I'm going to be like, yes, I did it. You know what I mean? It's going to be a good feeling.
Heck yeah. But, that's a great one.
Yeah. I hope that people listening will try this. And, if you ever have to like really challenge yourself, like, this might be a beneficial thing to help you along the journey. But, anyway, Chase, let's go to yours, bro. So we got Chase's newsletter sauce here, because, and this is sort of, it was on my mind because we're coming up on episode 100 or edition 100 of Alex in My Inbox, bro. Started doing it, I think it's February 22.
Insane.
Which is crazy. And, I think you have a knack for building newsletters. You have a massive list. The content is good. Your open rate is still good. You get sponsors, like, you actually make money from it.
Yeah.
Can you like share a couple tips if someone was like maybe you from like 2020 and you wanted to like, you know, impart some wisdom on building a newsletter?
Yeah, for sure. Dude, it's interesting. So most of my subs have come from social, right? For a long time, it was predominantly Twitter, and now it's Twitter, LinkedIn. I also get a lot of people saying that it's all over their Slack, people sharing it, referring it, etc. But obviously, right, you need people on your list for people then to pass it on. I think one of the things, which I haven't done recently, but one of the things that worked really, really well for me on Twitter, and I know people kind of are going to roll their eyes or think it's a little bit spammy, but you know, this whole like comment, retweet, make sure you're following me to get the auto DM. Bro, every time I did that, I would collect hundreds of emails to thousands of emails. I wasn't the first to do that strategy, but I was one of the first ones to do it the way that I did it. So everyone would just be like, auto retweet, I'll send you a DM, and then they would send whatever it was that was the lead magnet or whatever it was that was the prize for engaging. But what I had done is, let's just say, 50 subject lines that has the highest open rates. It was my lead magnet. What I would essentially do is I would put that PDF or that document or that information, I'd put it onto, let's say, Gumroad. And I would add a price tag to it. I would say it was $19 or $29 or $49. And what I basically would do is, as people automatically commented, liked, retweeted, whatever it was, I would send it saying, hey, Mason, thanks for engaging. You know, this thing is normally this price. This code is going to make it free. Go download it here. So you feel really great that this is something that normally has some kind of value. You're getting a free code, right? So you feel like you have to actually utilize it. And then you got to kind of download it. And then the thing itself gets reviews and it gets sales, right? So you can kind of see the social proof then on Gumroad that, you know, 1,000 people have downloaded. So the next time, if I want to do the same thing or on a different platform, it already has like the inherent social proof of 1,000 reviews or 1,000 sales. So that's what I would do. I think my smallest one got 200 or 300 emails. And my biggest one literally had like 3 or 4,000 emails collected in maybe 48 hours. People still do that today, and people are now starting to do that on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, I think you have to fulfill it manually, so I haven't done it. I've seen people do it with thousands of comments and tens of thousands of comments, and I've asked them how you've done it. And it's literally them and a VA slinging it by hand, one by one.
I got an idea.
Yeah, what's up?
I know you're done with SaaS. I know you're done. However, I think LinkedIn needs like a DM function. Like, okay, so you have, and maybe this exists, maybe I'm dumb, but like there's Tweet Hunter.
Yep.
For, or what's the other one? Hype Fury for yep. Twitter. You have ManyChat for all the Meta products where you can just comment a word and you get a DM and auto DMs that person. Does LinkedIn not have that?
So I think they do, but people are really scared of automation on LinkedIn. I think, like, for example, like Tweet Hunter has their Tapalio, which is like the LinkedIn version. I'm not 100% sure if you can or can't do it, but I know people are scared. One hack that someone told me is you can make people DM you, and on LinkedIn, you actually have like an away message. I don't know how to do it. I've never done it. Probably pretty easy to find. You can set an away message that like is done through LinkedIn. So you could probably say something like, you know, like, comment, and then DM me. Although, right, like if you make people DM you, that is probably too many steps. But you could select an away message. I'm still trying to figure out how to do it. Like, some people are using a LinkedIn business page and having their VA go on and then respond to people in the comments with the link. So it's not from like the personal account, because you probably also get like rate limited or rate blocked if you are trying to respond to that many people. So I don't know the strategy. I got to imagine there is or something out there. I'm just so afraid now to use automation on LinkedIn and or Twitter, just because last time I did this thing on Twitter, because it went so viral, I maxed out so quickly. And there was like thousands of people that like I couldn't respond to. And like, it's just not a great look if you're not going to respond to everyone. So, yeah. But I mean, like, for people that do that, maybe they have less followers. Maybe they could get 50, 100, a couple hundred people to do it. And then the auto DM stuff would work, or the manual DM works. But that works really, really well for me. I probably collected, I don't know, low tens of thousands of subs from just that. You pay people, you ask people to engage with it, and it just kind of creates this like snowball effect.
That's a great tip for like just mass subscribers. Just like, first of all, solid lead magnet,
yep.
Which you have plenty. You probably have like dozens now at this point of like all these little things you can just push.
Yeah.
Which is great. Dude, I think it's some solid game.
One more. I think that you could probably do is, I guess like not ghostwrite, but guestwrite, for lack of a better word, for publications or I don't know, newsletters in the space. So for example, early on, like Triple Whale would ask me to write some of their editions. So it'd almost be like a Chase Diamond takeover of this week's newsletter, where they would send it on behalf of me to their audience. So it basically be like, you know, hey, Triple Whale community, we've got a great newsletter for you today on 5 ways to make more money from your email flows, or 5 campaigns you should be sending in the next week. And it basically would be like an email that I would write that they would send to their audience, and they would link out to me. They link out to my newsletter. You know, want more content like this? Go read Chase's newsletter. Or, you know, want to follow him on social because he drops daily nuggets? Go follow him here. I think like reaching out to newsletters, publications, SaaS companies, whoever, communities, and doing like guest posts or kind of posts where they distribute it to their audience and they link out or link back to you. You know, I don't think you maybe would get necessarily as many subscribers as maybe figuring out some of these other things, but it's a great way just to distribute your content and start to build a name for yourself within whatever community or audience you want.
Nice. I like that. And obviously, like everyone knows this, like the key to all of this is good content. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to get like 50%+ open rates, you know, with shitty subject lines, and you're not going to be able to get guest posts with people like Triple Whale if like you're not going to deliver good content to their audience. Like that's something that you kind of have to have. You know what I mean? You can't just like, you can't just buy that. You got to like have good content.
100%.
So just like be original, say stuff that's new, and your stuff is good, bro. Like you are like the OG email guy, you know?
Appreciate you. It's kind of funny. Daniel Fazio, Cold Email Wizard, he posted some video that someone sent me. And he basically was like, Chase Diamond created 5,000 clones for himself by creating this course. So It was kind of funny. Like he created like this video. He might have mentioned even you too. And I just watched like the specific minute that he talked about me, where he talked about just creating clones for yourself. I mean, dude, think about how many people you've created, how many clones you've created, people doing freelance copywriting. They all message me. They literally all email message me every single day. There's 1,001 of you now out there just trying to get roles. It's crazy.
It's so dumb how people hit you up, bro. In the course, I say, don't hit up Chase, but they still do it. And I would be willing to bet that the people who are doing that are like probably the bottom 20% of my talent pool, the people who learn from me, because they just don't listen. It's not even like you're getting the good ones. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I didn't say don't hit Chase up, you'd actually be getting like good people, because like they just be like, oh, okay. But all the smart ones are not hitting you up and all the dumb ones are hitting you up. So yeah. So I call my students dumb, but like, listen, I said don't do it and you're still doing it. So you're dumb. But it's okay. I'm sorry, Chase. I'll tell them to stop again. I'll tell them again.
All good, brother. What's the last segment?
The last one is just one general entrepreneurship lesson from each of us. And you can start or I can start.
I'll let you start.
Okay, cool. So I have a friend like in real life, homie, one of my closest friends. I tried to put him on a copywriting in like September of 2022. Did pretty well for a while. And so it's now been like a year and a half almost, where like he's kind of been in the industry. And I'm seeing now that he's just like stagnant. You know what I mean? Like he's not gonna say this, so I can kind of say this. He's just been a little bit stagnant. Like he hasn't really like built much of a name for himself. You know, he's got like a cosign from me and a cosign from a couple of other people that are, you know, fairly influential in like our small corner. And he just hasn't really done anything with like the opportunity. Like he kind of just like started and then just like stayed here. And then you know what happens with stagnation is like the only way to go is down, right? So like, if you're not growing, you're dying. So he started his career almost started dying. And like, he's just kind of back to square one, even though he's been in the space. And I was thinking about this and I told him yesterday, we had a conversation. I was like, dude, being straight up, if you've been in here for a year and a half, like you should have your pick of the litter. You should be able to work with whoever you want to work with. You should be able to, you know, you should have kind of like a personal brand if you want it, or at least have connections and like a network. And so long story short, my piece of advice is like, in the beginning, you have a lot of momentum because it's really easy to grow. Like it's really easy for you to go from like 3K a month to 6K a month. Like it's one more client, you know what I mean? Or like from 5K a month to 10K a month, you just feel that momentum. It just feels really good. Much harder to go from 500K a month to 1 million a month. You know what I mean? But like at the beginning, like that gap, it feels big, but it's not. So you grow really fast and you have that momentum. Don't let that die, at least for the first year. Like try not to like, once you have something working, like once you're making like around 5, 10, 15K a month, like try not to travel, try just to stack a bunch of bread, try to immerse yourself in the business as much as possible. Like I remember like when I, in my first year copywriting, like, bro, I went from zero to 20K a month and I had connections like you. I had all of the other wicked, smart and talented people at Structured. I had, you know, brand owners who knew who I was. I had people who were like, who liked me enough to like, just give me, you know, opportunities and like, you know, whether they were paid or not, like I just had built up all this goodwill from people in the industry because I was giving a lot and I was good at what I did. And I was just like chasing down opportunities and like following up with people and just like trying to make connections. And I feel like that first year of copywriting for me was so productive because I was just in it. I didn't go anywhere. Well, to be fair, it was COVID, so I couldn't do anything. But I was just like, and it set the tone for the rest of my career. You know what I mean? I feel like if you can just like sit there and grind it out for a year and just try and be obsessed with it just for a year, that sort of gives you enough to work with where like, you're never really going to have to ask for much again. You'll have money in the bank. You'll have MRR. You'll get a lot of skills. You'll know a lot of people. You'll make a lot of friends. That to me is super important. If you waste that first year of business, I feel like, I don't know, like you can, it's very easy to just slip back to zero.
Yeah, I love that. And kind of piggybacking on yours, right? I think like shiny object syndrome, don't have it. We all have it, but try your best to avoid it. You know, I think about all the stuff I'm doing now. If I tried doing this all at once in the beginning, but there's just no way you could do it. So I think like hyper-focus, avoid shiny objects. I'm a huge believer too in momentum. Like when things are in motion and things are moving, you have good things going. Like that's when you press the pedal to the metal. That's not when you slow down. I think a lot of people find a little bit of success and then they slow down, and then, you know, churn and evolution happens, and then they're out of a job, they're out of work, they're out of business. I mean, dude, I've had multiple people reach out to me lately, like trying to sell their business to me, like in a fire sale. And they want a job with it. Like they're trying to sell their agency, or they're trying to get advice. Like, dude, I did less revenue or the same revenue I did last year. But my expenses went up because I took my eye off the ball. So I think avoiding shiny objects, like being really, really good at one, potentially max two things, within the first 12, 18, 24 months is super important. And then trying to say no, right? Like I still try to work on this, trying to say no to everything. I mean, I've got people in my fraternity. I've got people, I hope they're not listening to this, that like keep hitting me up. Like, let's reconnect. It's like, bro, as much as I'd love to like look back on our early 20s in college, it's like, I got stuff to do. Like, I don't have an hour just to shoot the shit anymore. You know, if I have an hour doing that, it's an hour away from work or an hour away from my family. So I'm like super hyper-focused on saying no. But I think in the beginning, you have to say yes to the opportunities that are related and kind of tangential, but ignore everything else.
That's kind of like the thing is like in year one, say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing, bro. Like I didn't turn down a single opportunity, even if it was completely unrelated. Like they wanted me to like if I wanted to write, or if someone wanted me to write blogs for like some dog brand or something like that, I would have done it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything. Never had a dog in my life. Don't like writing blogs, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even if it was like 3 cents a word, I'd be like, give me it. You know what I mean? And 3 cents a word sucks, but regardless, I think you're right. I think there's like, I guess the general lesson between both of us is like understanding stages and just like know when to say no, which is, I guess, later down. You can do that now because you're established. You got your shit together. Even me, like, dude, it's tough for me to say no to stuff. Like, I really have to think about it because like, I don't quite yet have that privilege. I haven't really been doing it for 6-7 years like you have. But that's a big one, bro. That's a big
one.
You
feel a lot of guilt saying no. You feel guilty. You feel bad saying no. And you sometimes get suckered into saying yes. And then it's just worse off for everyone. Like the number of times I've said yes to things, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And then like the way that I go into it, it's like, I'm just not in it. Right. So by actually saying no to things, I'm being more respectful, because if I don't want to do something, I'm not going to do it well. And I think like, again, don't go start saying no to everything right now. In the beginning, say yes. And then every, right, so say yes to 100% of things year one. You know, a year and a half in, say yes to 80%, right? And year two, three, say yes to 60%, right? Like, and then gradually as you're going on, you get more experience, start saying no, increasing your price, right? Like, there's a lot of ways to get around trying to make more money versus saying yes to everything. It's just like, I'm going to say no to some things, but I'm going to charge more per client. And therefore, everyone else that isn't a fit is a no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, dude. This is a banger. Another banger, Jason Mace. Can I wrap up?
Much love, brother.
All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Diamond Download. Thanks for listening, everybody. Follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. All right.
See you later. Good, brother. Bye.